capture moments, seeking glimpses of beauty, connection, and truth. What if we could capture snapshots of something even greater? What if we could see the very heart of God? We often look to God for guidance and answers, but what if we shifted our focus? What if we looked to God to discover who God is? This July, join Sycamore Creek at the Regal Cinema in the Lansing Mall as we explore the character of God. Discover God's peace, compassion, joy, and freedom. Together, we'll be exposed to the heart of God and develop a deeper connection with God.
We live in a society that is all about me first. Every man or woman for themselves take care of number one. The idea that you have to focus on yourself because no one else is going to take care of you permeates our lives everywhere we turn. And in lots of ways, that makes sense to us. I know for me personally, I have gone through a lot of loss and difficulty in my life. And I've lost grandparents, I've lost my parents, I lost my sister, and I even had a young friend pass away when I was a teenager. I've gone through breakups, friendships have broken down, I've lost jobs, I've lost vehicles, I've lost homes, and I've also been through an unwanted divorce. My life has been anything but easy. By the way, as Mikkel said, my name is Gretchen Williams, and I am a partner here at Sycamore Creek Church, and I attend the South Lansing campus. And I'm also a member of the teaching team. I'm so excited to be with you today as we are live on location here at Regal Cinema. This is one of my favorite things that we do, is go places that are unique and different. And today we're going to be talking about some of the characteristics of God, specifically that God is the God of compassion. Now, it may be easy to look at me and my life circumstances and think, how could Gretchen have the time or energy to worry about having compassion on others when she has had so much personal loss to deal with in her life? Listen, there have been many times where I have felt like I had little to nothing left to offer due to the loss and difficulties I've been through. You've probably felt the same way before. Everyone in this room could probably tell story after story about losing a loved one, a parent, a sibling, a grandparent, an aunt or an uncle, or even a friend. Some of you have probably lost your job at one point or another. Some of you have probably gone through a divorce. Some of you have probably had a scary health diagnosis. And some of you may have lost your home that you loved so much. When you go through these kinds of situations, it can feel like you have nothing to offer. Like you're so filled with pain and sorrow that there is no way you can offer compassion to someone else. And doesn't it almost always seem to be that right when we feel like we couldn't possibly take one more thing, like life has got us down on the ground and we can't get up, that some new demand comes our way? That can be so frustrating and discouraging. I know that I've found myself saying to God, please, God, I can't take one more thing. We sometimes say the phrase, when it rains, it pours. Have you ever felt that way? Well, here at Sycamore Creek, we like to take a few moments throughout our messages to give you an opportunity to talk about the message with your neighbor. So I'd like you to take a moment to talk about this question with someone who's near you. When was a time in your life when you feel like lots of things were going wrong all at the same time? Well, I hope you had some good conversations. I know I did. Let me take a moment to tell you just a little bit more about myself and my history at Sycamore Creek. I started attending Sycamore Creek in 2012, so not quite as long as Bob, but you know. And as some of you know, I used to be on staff here. I was hired originally as the youth group intern. I was on the launch team for Church in a Diner as well. And in staff positions, I've done many different things, including being the teen fuel leader. I was a Kids Creek staff member. I was church in a diner and church in a pub coordinator. And I was even the office manager for several years at the South Lansing campus. So I've been a part of Sycamore Creek for a long time. They say that a picture is worth 1,000 words. And that can be very true, as a picture can tell you a lot about someone. Here, hopefully, is a picture, oh, there we go, of my siblings, my stepmom Ruth, and myself at my dad's funeral. This picture tells you that I have siblings. You may or may not be able to tell that I'm the youngest of my siblings from this photo. The picture tells you that my dad remarried after my mom passed away, and that I love my stepmom. She's right there. Hi, Mom. And also, it tells you that my dad passed away. All these things you can learn just from one photo. We're in a series right now called The God Shot, based on a book of the same name by Tara Lee Cobble. This book is a 100-day look at the snapshots of God's character. Throughout Scripture, we can see snapshots or pictures of God's character through the stories we read and the things that God says and does. And taking a look at these snapshots can help us know better about who God is. So we're learning about who God is, and we're also continuing in our series of series on Jesus' most famous teaching, the Sermon on the Mount, found in Matthew chapters 5 through 7. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said to his followers, "Keep on asking and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking and you will find. Keep on knocking and the door will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives. Everyone who seeks finds, and everyone who knocks, the door will be opened." Jesus gives us a snapshot of how God cares for us and shows us compassion. But what's the catch? We need to ask. Jesus is not implying that God is some magical genie that we just go to God and God will give us everything we want, right? The main thing is that God offers us his presence. God is with us, but often we are not aware of God. Asking, seeking, and knocking makes us aware of God and God's presence with us. In this series, we're asking, seeking, and knocking to learn more about God and who God is and God's character. God will reveal God's self to us. We just need to ask. And we can't separate this learning about God from the impact that it has on us. Today, we're looking at God as the God of compassion. Our God is a God who has compassion on all people. This allows us to have the compassion and comfort we need in times of trouble and difficulty, and it also allows us to show compassion to those around us. Now, compassion is one of those words that I think sometimes we use in different ways, or maybe we don't always have the same meaning in mind when we use it. So I thought it would be helpful to look up the definition of the word. On dictionary.com, the definition of the word compassion is a feeling of deep sympathy and sorrow for another who is stricken by misfortune, accompanied by a strong desire to alleviate the suffering. Notice that this definition isn't only about the feeling of a sympathy for someone's misfortune, but it also includes a strong desire to alleviate their suffering. So there's an urgency felt here to help ease the other person's suffering. Let's keep that in mind today as we talk about the God of compassion. In the Gospel of Mark, we see that Jesus knows what it's like to go through life's trials just like us. His cousin, John the Baptist, had just died. And all Jesus seems to want to do is to find some time and space to be alone in his grief. That makes sense, right? Despite all he's going through, there's a crowd of people gathering and following him, and they're just longing for him to give them his words of wisdom. But rather than retreat on his own, he has compassion on the crowd, and he begins to teach them. Isn't that amazing? In the midst of his own trouble and sorrow, he has compassion on those around him and gives of himself. Tara Lee Cobble says he shows empathy. He sees their neediness and he enters in, patiently teaching the wayward and providing for the needy. By the way, that's us too. We're wayward. We're needy. And God always has time for us. Tara Lee Cobble shows us through this story in the Gospel of Mark that God's compassion is always available to us. That is so encouraging to me. I'm so grateful to know that Jesus always has time for me, and that when I'm wayward and needy, I can count on God to be there for me. And the same goes for you. When you are struggling, when you're grieving, when you feel like you can't take one more bad thing, God has compassion for you, and he's right there for you. But his compassion goes even further than this. In Mark chapter 6, it says, late in the afternoon, his disciples came to him and said, "This is a remote place, and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the nearby farms and villages and buy something to eat." But Jesus says, "You feed them." And do you know what happens next? The disciples kind of think that Jesus is out of his mind. They ask him, "With what money are we supposed to feed the thousands of people who have gathered here?" They ask him this because the compassion that Jesus is showing in this moment seems to be far beyond what is normal. Far more than what we could imagine doing for someone. But Jesus refuses to send the people away to find their own food, but encourages the disciples to find a way to feed the crowd that is there. Here, we also see that not only is God's compassion always available to us, but God's compassion goes above and beyond. It wasn't completely outrageous for the disciples to suggest that they send the people away to go find something to eat for dinner. After all, how are Jesus and 12 disciples supposed to feed thousands of people? For those of you who have ever fed a crowd, it's not easy, nor is it cheap. I know when I've tried to put food together for my kids' birthday parties, it is always way more expensive than I originally thought or planned. And generally, most of us have never fed thousands of people, right? Tara Lee Cobble says, "Do you ever feel like a burden to God? Does what you want or need seem impossible? He's the perfect place to take all your desires. Because not only does he always have enough of everything, but he also has a heart that is guided by compassion." This is great news. Nothing we can ever bring to God is too much or is impossible. God always has enough to help us, and God has a heart of compassion. So God loves us, and he wants to help us with whatever we need. That brings me to another question for discussion. Take a moment to talk about this question with a neighbor. Have you ever felt like your burden was too much or maybe impossible? Talk about that. All right. Well, as the story continues, we see that Jesus asks the disciples what they have. They find a young boy in the crowd who has 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. So Jesus asks them to bring the boy to him and the food, and he prays a blessing over it. Jesus took the 5 loaves and 2 fish and looked up toward heaven and blessed them. Then, breaking the loaves into pieces, he kept giving the bread to the disciples so they could distribute it to the people. He also divided the fish for everyone to share. They all ate as much as they wanted, and afterwards, the disciples picked up 12 baskets of leftover bread and fish. A total of 5,000 men and their families were fed. Wow, that is amazing. How could 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish feed thousands of people? Here we see that God's compassion is extraordinary. Now, Tara Lee Cobble points out something interesting that I had never really thought of before, and I think it's something worth talking about. Feeding this crowd may seem like a need, but it's actually more of a want. People generally don't die of starvation from missing one meal. But Jesus still chooses to lean into compassion and take care of the people by miraculously feeding them. Tara Lee Cobble says, on his own, the boy doesn't have enough to feed all the people. But God uses what the boy offers and makes it enough. Likewise, Scripture never says we are enough. In fact, it repeatedly says we aren't. But God is enough, and God uses the little we have in ways we could never imagine. More often than not, we don't have enough. We don't have enough strength to get through our own struggles. We don't have enough compassion to help others get through their struggles. Sometimes we don't even have enough compassion for ourselves. But you never know how God might take that little bit that you have to offer and multiply it to help show God's compassion to yourself and to those around you. So I want to give you one more important aspect of God's compassion. God's compassion is meant to be shared. I think one of my favorite things about God's compassion is that as God loves us and fills us up with compassion, God gives us enough to also be able to show compassion to those around us. And often, we can learn something about the compassion of God through others showing us compassion and seeing them show compassion to others. When I was a young adult, my parents became licensed foster parents so that my nephew could move in with them. He lived with them for several months until he turned 18 and chose to move out. Well, I'm pretty sure they hadn't really thought they would ever foster any other kids. That was just something that they did to help my nephew. But after he had moved out, they received a phone call about an emergency placement for two brothers. Originally, it sounded like they would only be there for a couple of nights until somewhere more permanent was found. And if I'm being totally honest, I wasn't really sure I wanted them to do it because I was also living at home, and I thought it might be weird for me to have two young boys living in my home. But they prayed about it, and together they decided that they would take them. Those boys were Alpha and Yusuf. And they ended up staying for several months until they could be reunited with their parents. And after that, my parents fostered at least six more kids. And we still have a great relationship with many of them. Alpha and Yusuf are my brothers. They came to my wedding. They met my kids. Here's a picture of us at Yusuf's high school graduation open house. And I still keep in touch with them to this day. I'm pretty sure that my parents didn't think that they had much to offer, but they gave what they did have, space in their home and space in their hearts, and impacted at least eight people's young lives in such a powerful way. I know that some of those kids had not so great foster home experiences, but in my parents' home, they were loved and cared for, and their family grew, as my siblings and I have become family to them as well. This reminds me of one of my favorite scriptures in 2 Corinthians. These verses use the word comfort, but I'm going to replace the word comfort with the word compassion. So anywhere in the following verses that it says the word comfort, I have replaced it with the word compassion. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is our merciful Father and the source of all compassion. God shows compassion to us in all our troubles, so that we can show compassion to others. When they are troubled, we will be able to give them the same compassion God has given us. Our God shows us compassion so that we can show compassion to others. And in like fashion, our friends and family can show us the compassion that they themselves received from God when we are struggling. God's compassion is always available to us. When we are needy, when we have gone astray, when we are struggling, God will always have compassion for us. God's compassion goes above and beyond. God's compassion goes beyond what we think is normal or seems possible. God's compassion is big. God's compassion is also extraordinary. God can do miraculous and extraordinary things. God can accomplish things that we've never even dreamed of. And lastly, God's compassion is meant to be shared. This isn't something that we're supposed to put in a box in the back of our closets and keep to ourselves. Not only does God's compassion help us get through the trials and tribulations of this life, but it's meant to be shared with those around us because we are all God's children. And guess what? It won't run out. God's compassion isn't finite. There is no end to the amount of compassion we can receive and the amount of compassion we can share with others. God's compassion is overflowing. That is really good news. I hope here at Sycamore Creek Church that we are a people who will receive God's compassion in our lives when we need it and take it with us and shower it on all the people we interact with in our daily life. After all, here at Sycamore Creek, we are curious, creative, and what? All right, compassionate. If we share God's compassion with the people in our neighborhoods, in our workplaces and schools and everywhere else we go, I think people would see that and think, wow, those people at Sycamore Creek are really compassionate. I want what they have. Imagine the incredible impact we could have on those around us. I imagine that it would grow to Lansing, Potterville, East Lansing, Holt, Charlotte, maybe the whole state of Michigan, and maybe even all over the world. Now that is something that I want to be a part of. I'd like to close this morning with one more question for you to discuss with your neighbor. Which aspect of God's compassion did you most need to hear about today? That God's compassion is always available to us, that it goes above and beyond, that it's extraordinary, or that it's meant to be shared.